Tappers, what's up? It is the sun. No, we're not doing that. You expected it. You expected me to say the Sunday edition, but it's Daily Tap Presents. That is what we are doing for the time being, basically giving you guys outlets of things to listen to that are somewhat evergreen. I wouldn't say that they're completely evergreen. Some of them are very evergreen, where you could listen to it next week, you could listen to it in 2 weeks, you could listen to it tomorrow. It's going to be there for you. Some of it a little more time sensitive, but I'm really trying hard to avoid the non-evergreen nature of it. Hope you guys had a good weekend staying inside. I will say really quick before we get going here, I felt like all the stay-at-home messaging on social media was like a day or two, maybe 3 days too late. Like, why didn't Nike come out with that on Friday as we're getting ready for the weekend? Or why wasn't that out there right before St. Patrick's? I just felt like, I feel like everything is moving and like it's moving so fast. And I feel like now everybody sort of gets the idea of staying home. I know we saw the sort of vision of people playing basketball and people, you know, being outside. I still think that people need to understand the stay-at-home method in terms of it's okay to go for a walk. It's okay to clear your head. It's okay to be with your, you know, your circle, the person you're close with. Obviously, there are things that are not okay. I'm not going to preach at you. I'm not going to be like all of this. But like when you're telling your friends like, oh, yeah, I did this awesome gym routine, I think it should be understood that you're at your home gym and you're not going to be out in public spreading that shit around. We will see where we are with the big C, but we're not going to talk about that. As we said, we are talking about happy stuff or talking about things that kind of get us away from the distraction of what's going on. And NFL free agency continues to trudge on. I would say that it has slowed down a little bit. It is not at the level we saw it last week at this time as we were getting ready for it. It was sort of, it went and it rocked and rolled last Monday. But last Monday, we were still in our offices. We were just, people were going to work. I mean, it's crazy how much has changed in a week. But in a week, somehow, some way, the Green Bay Packers have gotten so much better than their NFC North opponents. And that's the topic for today's Snowtap WI Presents. We are going to be talking Daily Tap Presents, Snowtap WI Presents, whatever way you want to call it. Basically, we're looking at what have people done in the NFC North and why I think the Packers are so much better than what the Vikings, Lions, and Bears are currently showing. I expect the Packers to be the betting favorite when the lines open up for divisions, and I honestly think the Packers are a safe bet minus 150, minus 180. I think anything under minus 150 is an automatic must play because that's how good I think the Packers are compared to the others in the NFC North. There's been one signing that I'll talk about later that actually scared me from what the teams have done. Other than that, I'm not really worried about what the Lions, Bears, or Vikings have done. And it's not a cocky thing. This is not trying to be arrogant. This is not trying to pump my chest. It's just looking at the facts and looking at who these players are. For the Lions, I don't think they have a rhyme or reason. The Vikings have cut a lot of their good players or players who could have a bounce back year. They've just decided to get rid of them, and we'll talk about that more. And then the Bears, I really don't have an idea what the Bears are doing. So we'll get into all of that. I think we should probably start with the Vikings because they were the team who fought with the Packers for the division. They also made the playoffs last year. So the Vikings had the only signing that I liked. The Vikings signed Michael Pierce. He was a guy who was an interior run stopper that many people thought could be a really good fit for the Packers, kind of help alleviate some of the pressure off of Kenny Clark. Milt Hendrickson, the assistant GM for the Packers, was formerly with Baltimore, brought Pierce in, I believe, from the draft process. So there was a fit there, right? But then the Vikings turned around and gave him $27 million over 3 years, and that was an extreme overpay for just a run stopper. That's all Pierce is. He's a good player, but all he is a run stopper, and that is too much money. So they gave him a ton of fucking money. They threw money at him, basically, hey, let's sign this guy. They've cleared a bunch of cap, which we'll talk about here in a second, and they gave Kirk Cousins an extension for 2 more years. So they committed themselves to Kirk Cousins for 2 more years, and while they did that, I don't know if they're better off. I don't know if the Vikings look like a Super Bowl contender or even look like a contender to win the division. In my mind, the Vikings look more like a 8-8 to 9-7 team. Now, Rick Spielman is a good drafter. I think Rick Spielman does do a pretty good job in the draft. Some people like to rag on Rick and say that he's not that great. I think he's not that great when it comes to managing caps. He gets a little spend crazy, and that's what's led to a lot of the departures. They lost Josh Klein, their starting guard. They lost Xavier Rhodes, their starting cornerback. Now, Xavier Rhodes had an awful year last year, but he was once a great player. So the idea that Xavier Rhodes couldn't come back to that form, you know, it's kind of unknown. We don't know if we'll ever see that again. They lost Stephon Diggs. They also lost Everson Griffin. That's a lot of premier talent. And Linval Joseph's another name. Now, they replaced him kind of with Pierce. But these are all talented players that are no longer with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, you could argue that, all right, Stephon Diggs, probably replaceable with the swath of wide receivers they have in the draft. But the Vikings have not drafted well when it comes to receivers. Spielman has drafted well in other spots. Receiver has not been one of them. Let's not forget, they drafted Laquon Treadwell instead of drafting Mike Thomas. For that, I'm very grateful for, but they passed on Mike Thomas when they went with Laquan instead, and Laquan was a complete bust, one of the worst players that has been in a Vikings uniform for the last couple of years. And you, again, miss out on Rhodes, who wasn't that good. I think Mackenzie Alexander also left. Trey Wayans left for Cincinnati. Trey Wayans, not very impressive. He got a lot, way too much money from Cincinnati. But now the Vikings have to completely redesign their secondary. Anthony Harris right now has a franchise tag on him, and they lost Jerron Kearse. So they've lost their almost entire secondary. It behooved them to sign Anthony Harris, but he has a low franchise tag where you could actually make a trade for him, and everybody really should be interested in him. Honestly, the Packers included. Not that I think the Vikings would trade up for, or would let us trade for Anthony Harris, but still, I think that the Vikings are not really handling that secondary well. So how can you rebuild that on the fly with no cap room? You're not going to pay, you know, you might bring in a veteran, but you're going to probably have to do it through the draft. I mean, CJ Henderson's there, who could be right where the Vikings draft, and maybe that's the route they go. But again, you're going to ask a lot of some rookies and young players in that secondary, and that is an issue when you're in the NFL that is just so pass happy. And yes, the Vikings do, you know, blitz and make sure that there isn't a lot going on, but they've lost so much in that back end. And I don't know how you can look at this team and say, this is a playoff team right now. Maybe when we do this podcast like this in August, maybe we'll think of it a little differently. Who knows? I can't waste too much time on the Vikings because I have to talk about other teams. Moving on to the Chicago Bears. So the Chicago Bears made a couple splashes. They added Nick Foles and Robert Quinn. Nick Foles through trade. Robert Quinn they gave a lot of money to. 5 years, $70 million. They also added Jimmy Graham, Artie Burns, a former first rounder from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Demetrius Harris, the former UWM basketball player who was playing for Cleveland last year. The Bears currently have 10 tight ends on their roster. That seems like an excessive amount. They might have to make a move with a couple of those guys. Again, I really do not enjoy anything that Chicago did here. There's not one thing that stands out to me that I'm like, oh my God, like this team looks so much better than they were last year, that this team is going to make the playoffs. The Foles thing I wrote about on Stone Tap WY, it looks good on paper. Foles has everything that he wants. He has all the coaches that have made him successful in the past. He's worked with all these guys. It should work. But are you just going to hand him the keys on day one? Or is it going to be a quarterback battle between him and Mitch Trubisky? I don't know. And I don't really understand why that you want to shake Mitch's confidence like this. For what I read from all the coaching and all the background that Nick Foles has, it sort of read like we are moving on for Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles is going to be our starter in game one. And if something goes wrong or Foles struggles, we'll go back to Trubisky, but it does not seem like they are satisfied with Mitch Trubisky, and it sounds like it is kind of over for him. And that is wildly disappointing considering he was the number two pick overall in the draft. And I know the Bears are in a little bit of a win-now mode with guys like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, and now adding Robert Quinn to that defense makes them a little bit stronger. They did lose Nick Kotowski, but the Bears really do have a strong defense. I think the Bears have a good defense, and they've had one for a while. I don't think they were as intimidating last year under Chuck Pagano. I think Vic Fangio did a lot more good than Chuck Pagano did. Now, as for Robert Quinn to just transition, it's a lot of money for a guy that's sort of been up and down throughout his career. He had some really good years when he first was at the Rams in, the early aughts, and he was 22 and 23. Now Quinn at 29 had 11 sacks last year, but he's already played 10 years in the league. He's kind of veteran old. Like, he's an older football player, even though he's only 29 years old. He's seen a lot of shit. And he's had some injuries. He's had some years where he's only played half the season. That has to be a little concerning. Quinn's going to add a lot to that defense. He's going to give a lot for the Bears. And Quinn and Mack on opposite sides should be pretty terrifying. And it gives you a little more strength and a little more physicality than what you had with Leonard Floyd, who they also cut bait with. So I could see a pathway to the Bears' defense being better, but again, how are you going to say that this offense is going to be anything but mediocre? Nick Foles has proven time and again to be sort of a loser. Like, I know he won a Super Bowl, and I know he was very clutch in those moments for that Philadelphia team, but has it ever dawned on somebody that maybe, just maybe, Doug Peterson's a really good fucking coach? And I know that Matt Nagy comes from his tree, but that doesn't immediately give Matt Nagy this crown. It doesn't make him just as good as Doug Peterson. That's not how it works, right? So I understand that that's what Foles thrived under, but there, I just can't see it for me. And I look at, you have Allen Robinson, but who's after that? And Jimmy Graham, I don't understand why Ryan Pace gave him that money. Didn't Ryan Pace watch the last two fucking years when he played against the Bears as with the Packers? Jimmy is washed. Every Packer thing on knows that Jimmy Graham is washed up. He's a good guy, but he's fucking washed up. So why would you give him that money? And Artie Burns, while he was a first-round talent, that guy's best year in Pro Football Focus was in 2017. That was 3 years ago. So again, and Artie Burns is young, and so maybe he can figure it out with the right coaching and the right tutelage, and he's not going to be brought in to start, obviously, but he's not necessarily a great cornerback. He was not a guy that was well-liked in Pittsburgh. My Steelers fans kind of think of him as a bust. So I do not really like what the Bears have done. I think their defense is a little bit better, but you have to score points. You cannot beat everybody 13-10. Not in today's NFL. Does not allow for that. And I don't think the Bears defense is that good to be a defense that wins games like 13-10 or does things like forces a lot of pick six and fumble recoveries and all that bullshit. Those only come around so often. They're not that's a dime a dozen. Or not a dime a dozen. That's very rare. It's a needle in a haystack type defense. Those are some of the best defenses of the generation of NFL. So that's not what this Bears team is. They're better, but they're not a generationally good defense. Let's not get that twisted. To wrap it up with the Lions, oh boy, the Lions are, I think, in shambles. I was stunned that Matt Patricia kept his job. And from everything you read from actual players, not just writers, not just fans, Matt Patricia is one of the most unlikable coaches in football. And I think the question of, well, why does he, how is he getting all these, you know, these guys to sign here? Well, I think it's a couple things. Number one, I think the expatriates that he brought in are used to Matt Patricia's coaching. They have no problem with it. They're like, yeah, he's basically trying to build Patriots Midwest. And there's a lot of stats that show bringing in expatriates does not work out. Then the other part of it is I think the Lions are giving them way too much money. Big V, who I will not pronounce his name, his first name, Halapaleta Vitale, that was awful. Sounded like I was, you know, gargling or something. He got 5 years, $50 million. And they could have probably re-signed Ricky Wagner for 2 years and 20, right? That's a crazy amount of money. Big V is a bad tackle. He is not good. He is not a good run blocker. He's not a good pass blocker. He is a tub of lard. He is the classic lineman that is way too big and he just titty bumps everybody. That is not a good lineman. You do not want that kind of lineman on your defense. Jamie Collins has been bad. He was bad in Cleveland. He's really only been good in New England. Maybe he thrives under Patricia's defense again and it works, but Jamie Collins has not proven to be that good outside of the New England bubble. Desmond Trufant could be French for Xavier Rhodes. Like, he was kind of on that same trajectory. So Desmond Trufant a couple years ago was really fucking good. Desmond Trufant now is just another guy. Devontae Adams looks at him and laughs. It's not a big deal. You add Chase Daniel as your backup quarterback, not a bad move. But I still think the Lions, it would behoove them to get a quarterback early and often, especially if there is rumors that Matt Stafford wants out. And then you add Nick Williams and Danny Shelton to your middle. Okay, but nothing there screams excitement. I'm not wild about that. Jerron Curse, not a bad player as a safety for the Lions. I think if that was to me, that's the one guy I'd like, all right, that's not a bad ad. But they traded Darius Slay. They're probably their best defender, one of the biggest fan favorites, pretty much from what you read, is because Slay was a very energetic dude. He liked to have fun, and Matt Patricia didn't really like that. That didn't really vibe. Matt Patricia hated when they did jersey swaps. When they lost, when they won, it didn't matter. Patricia didn't like that. So again, it goes back to Matt Patricia is running this thing like a college and like a drill sergeant. And while player empowerment, I do think goes too far at sometimes, I think you need to at least have a little bit of player empowerment. You need to be a little bit less of an asshole. And who knows, maybe Patricia will learn from this, but it probably will take him to get fired first, because he's not going to stop this attitude until something major happens. And he wants, and I swear to you, defensive coaches, Zimmer's like this too, they want to be dictators of their team. The offensive guys, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just a mindset, and I'd love to like actually do a study, like I'd love for Warren Sharp to do this. But if you notice, like, offensive guys sort of give the defense guys the keys. They might help out a little bit, but they don't really have that much to say. Like, Matt LaFleur gives Mike Patton just anything he wants. He's like, all right, yeah, whatever. I care, but I don't care, like, a lot. But then Matt Patricia was so big on, like, he wanted to run the ball more, and they took the air out of the ball after the Lions had moved the ball so well and had been a really competent team. Like, for as much shit as we give the Lions as Packer fans, the Lions were not the bottom team in the NFC North for 6 years, from 2012 to 2000, so 5 years, 2012 to 2017, the Lions hadn't finished last. For a team that has been perpetually bad, it's pretty good for the Lions. But Patricia completely takes the air out of the ball. Then you have the Vikings, who, you know, Mike Zimmer ran through offensive coordinators like someone does socks. Like, that's how Mike Zimmer ran through his offensive coordinator. Now he has, like, Gary Kubiak, and they're running the ball more, and it's more what Mike Zimmer wants. So I do think that these defensive coaches run it more like a dictatorship. But to wrap this up, as we're kind of teetering on our going long and losing our 20-minute rule, the Packers just seem so much better. They've only added a couple guys. They only added Christian Kirksey, Ricky Wagner. They brought back Mercedes Lewis. They brought back Will Redman. That's all the Packers have done thus far. But you look at what the Packers are compared to the Vikings, who now have a major problem in their secondary. They need to beef up their wide receiver crew. They've lost a member of their offensive line. The Lions, a lot of questions and a lot of new faces that seem like they're just trying to guesswork this and patch it together. And the Bears, who might have improved on defense, but their offense is still that mediocre offense. The Packers just come up smelling like roses. They look like the better team. The NFC North has been very competitive, but it would not surprise me. Now, this is March. We could sing a different tune in July or in August, so I will preface that. But it looks like this could be a Packer team that is two or three wins better than the second team in the NFC North. It's not cocky. It's not arrogant from this Packer fan. It's just facts. All right, take care. Have a good one. We'll have another one up probably around like 11 on Monday. So we'll have one up at about 11 on Monday, so you have something else to listen to if you are pounding these out every day. And if you are, thank you very much. We appreciate the support. All right, take care, Tappers. Bye.